send a dinghy, please.
Did you hear me? I'd like a dinghy, please.
Hello, sir. Have you lost your bearings?
No, sir. I don't think so. This is Summer Isle, is it not?
It is, sir.
Well, I'm right there. Now, would you send a dinghy, please?
I'm afraid it can't be done, sir. This is private property. You can't land here without written permission.
I, as you can see, am a police officer.
A complaint has been registered by a resident of this island about a missing child.
Hello and welcome to Radio Clash. This is 192 and it's Return to Summer Isle. Yes, we're all going to strip naked and dance over fire and do various witchy things over the next hour or so. As you might have guessed, this is all about the film The Wicker Man. This is a two-part show, and it's my dad's 70th birthday, so it is a show dedicated to him. It's kind of music that I think he would like, sort of more of a folky, acoustic-y. It's the kind of stuff I would never play on Radio Clash, although I've been really getting into recently because I watched Wicker Man for the first time. Which is a film which is, of course, from 1973, which is set on a Scottish island. Although in the background you're hearing Summer Is A-Comin' In, which is actually an English folk song, but it's probably one that it's certainly the earliest six-part recorded song in history ever. I think it's 13th century, I think. I might be getting confused with another song, Miri It Is, which is definitely 12th century or 13th century. And this might be 15th, 16th century. But yeah, this is certainly the earliest sort of multi-part recorded, you know, sort of a song's around. And it's the earliest multi-part song in existence. But the whole of the film is set on the island of Summer Isle, hence Return to Summer Isle. And it starred Edward Woodward and Christopher Lee and Brett Eklund and Diane Colento and Ingrid Pitt. I've been doing my research. I've been reading the book at the moment, and been really much getting into the whole sort of Wicca thing. That's W-I-C-K-E-R, not W-I-C-C-A. I've sort of slightly done that. But it's an interesting film. I didn't really get it at first until I actually listened to the soundtrack. The soundtrack is what drew me in. I was very, very sceptical about the whole thing, because it just seemed a bit... the film was a bit slow, a bit clunky, a bit unintentionally humorous in places, whereas the soundtrack is wonderful. And the soundtrack was done by Paul Giovanni. The director of Wicker Man was a guy called Robin Hardy. And I think it was his first time director, and it was produced by British Lion, who got took over. And there's all kinds of stories about what happened. Lots of people shagging each other on, they were found, not on set, but sort of during the production, and affairs and relationships were started. Like Tony Shaffer, who wrote The Wicker Man, the screenplay, met I don't know if wife or long-term partner, Diane Colenjo, I don't know how to pronounce it, I think it's Colenjo, but it might be Silencio, while he was actually doing the shoot, doing the film. And yes, it's sort of interesting that what happened to the film outside of that became almost as infamous as the film itself. It was a film that no one wanted, the studio didn't want you to see, or Rod Stewart, who was then dating Brigitte Eklund, didn't want you to see, which is crap. Because actually the film ended up being destroyed. Infamously put into the, or probably apocryphally, used as landfill for the M3 motorway. So that's kind of a story, and the story is that it's a Scottish, very religious, virginal copper going to this island of Summer Isle, which is a pagan sort of place, and looking for a girl which has been reported as being missing, called Rowan Morrison, and finding that the locals aren't very helpful. And I'm talking about the 1973 version, which was actually released in 1974 eventually, and become a kind of cult favourite. I'm not talking about the absolutely, frankly terrible, and I've suddenly seen clips and they are horrible, Nicolas Cage version of 2006, which we won't talk about. That's absolutely horrible. But no, it's weird. I'm getting into the film for the music, and I'm actually starting to watch it again. I've actually got the DVD. I've bought the DVD, and so I must like it to some extent. And it's a grower. It's a movie you watch and you go, huh? And then you think about it and think about it, and you don't really, it sort of stays with you. It's one of those kind of quite sort of spooky movies that sort of uses ominous dread rather than schlock tactics. And it has that sort of slow dread through it, but also has a wonderful folk soundtrack, as I mentioned, Paul Giovanni, who got the job because he was Peter Schaffer's boyfriend. Peter Schaffer, you know from, or Peter Schaffer, I think Schaffer actually is the way you say it. Peter Schaffer's boyfriend. Peter Schaffer is the guy who wrote Equus and various other things. And Tony Schaffer is his twin, I think twin brother, or something brother. And and Peter Schaffer was helping the production out, doing some of the research, and obviously he must have suggested his then boyfriend Paul Giovanni, who sadly died of AIDS in 1990. Although I think Peter Schaffer is still with us, but yes, so that's obviously how you get your gig like that on a film. But he just produced a wonderful soundtrack, and he used a lot of early music, which hence why we started with Summer. Summer is a coming in, which is middle English or late middle English. And Miri it is, which is again being heard in the background. I won't relate the lyrics to you. I've posted them to the Twitter feed. I've been posting Middle English to my Twitter feed, which I know is a bit strange. for most people, they're getting what. And you probably know summaries are coming in quite well because of this piece of music.
We will stickle it, every little bit of it. We will fix it like new.
We will find it, we will bind it. We will
stick it with glue, we'll grind it, we will stickle it, every little bit of it, we will fix it like new, every little bit of it, we will fix it like new, new, new.
Yes. Of course, in 1974, it was also used as a music for, probably inspired, I suspect, inspired by its usage in Wicker Man, strangely. I can't imagine they suddenly went, oh, why don't we just use this really old song that that mostly Royal College of Music graduates would know about, but no one else does at that point. And of course, Summer Is A-Coming In is what they sing at the end, the sort of the rousing song. And I have to say, if you haven't seen the film, certainly by the end of part two of this show, I'll probably have given away most of the plots, so I wouldn't listen to all of this if you haven't watched the film. And if you want to watch the film, go away and watch the film. We'll come back and listen to this, because partly it won't make much sense, because it'll be a bit like, why should I care? And also, it'll be making references, and it'll be audio samples, and you'll be like, what? But also, I think some of the samples are going to give away the plot. Well, some of the plot. I've tried to choose ones that are a little bit less sort of give you away, spoilery. Oh, and what I forgot to say before we get into the show is that I will actually be playing, because a lot of the music is inspired by traditional folk songs, I've been playing at the start, I will be playing, interspersing in this show, not so much the next show, this show I will actually be playing the originals, the songs are based on, and I will tell you what those are. But so you'll be going, hopefully going, oh, that's where that's from. It's Paul Giovanni did do a lot of work in creating original music. A lot of the music is original, but certainly a lot of the lyrics and some of the influences for the songs come from a totally different place. And he mixed up English, Welsh and Scottish. Not Scottish Gaelic, I think that Roy Burns, he actually mixed up a lot of folk influences into the lyrics, although a lot of that was already sort of in there and talked about because the research done by Anthony Schaffer, and some of the lyrics are indicated by the script, and in at least one case I'm actually playing a song, one of the songs that was originally meant to be, which he then did an original song for. Or a partly original song for. So anyway, I'm going to start with a clip from the film and then go straight into the best song, which is from the whole of it, which is the most famous one, I think, which is Willow's song, where Willow McGregor, otherwise known as Britt Eklund, actually goes and prances around naked in a room. Yes, that means all the men are now going rushing off to go and watch that film.
And out he comes! There! Never mind, darling. It's all over now. Here's your sweet for being a brave girl. Come on, which one would you like? He's got your horrid old sore throat now, hasn't he, poor creature? Can't you hear him croaking? Young and fair, please.
and the snail bite the dog.
Thanks, well drunk, drunk and then who's the fool now? Thanks, well drunk, drunk and then who's the fool now?
I saw a maid milk a bull.
Fine and fine.
I saw a maid milk a bull.
Who's the fool now?
I saw a maid milk a bull. Every pool, a bucket full.
Thou's well drunk, and man, who's the fool now? Thou's well drunk, and man, who's the fool now? Martin said to his man, fine and fine. Martin said to his man, who's the fool now? Martin said to his man, fill out the cup and die the can. Thou's well drunk. And then who's the fool now? Thou hast well drunk, and then who's the fool now?
I think I could turn and live with animals. They are so placid and self-contained. They do not lie awake in the dark and weep for their sins. They do not make me sick discussing their duty to God. Not one of them kneels to another, or to his own kind that lived thousands of years ago. Not one of them is respectable, or unhappy, all over the earth.
I put my hand on her knee, and she says, do you want to see? I put my hand on her breast, and she says, do you want a kiss? Gently, 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 Johnny, gently, Johnny, my jingle. Gently, 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 Johnny. Gently, Johnny, my jingle. I put my hand on her thigh, and she said, try. I put my hand on her belly, and she says, do you want to fill me? Gently, 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 Johnny, gently, Johnny, my jingle. Gently, 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 Johnny.
His hand all on her toe. Fair maid is the lily, oh, she said to him. got to go. Come to me quietly, do not do me injury. Gently, jolly my jingle-o. He put his hand all on her knee. Fair maid is the lily-o. She said to him, do you want to see? Come to me quietly, do not do me injury. Gently, jolly my jingle-o. He put his hand all on her thigh. Fair maid is the lily-o. She said to him, do you want to try? Come to me quietly, do not do me injury. Gently, Johnny, my jingle-o. He put his hand all on her head. Fair maid is the lily-o. She said, do you want my maidenhead? Come to me quietly, do not do me. Put his hand all on her billy. Fair maid is the lily. Oh, she said to him, do you want to filly? Come to me quietly, do not do me injury. Gently, Johnny, my jingle-o. He put his hand all on her breast. Fair maid is the lily. Oh, she said to him, do you want to rest? Come to me quietly. Do not do me injury. Gently, Johnny, my jingle-o. Come to me quietly. Do not do me injury. Gently, Johnny, my jingle-o.
of gold. His skin was white as milk. It is no wonder, said the king, why my daughters love you did win. For if I was a woman as I am a man,
same way, to reverence the music and the drama and the rituals of the old gods, to love nature and to fear it, and to rely on it and to appease it where necessary.
He brought you up to be a pagan.
A heathen, conceivably, but not, I hope, an enlightened.
I hope you enjoyed that sort of intro section. In the background, you can hear Procession by Paul Giovanni, which is a version of the song you heard before. That version was by Meg Baird, a very, very old, very old, well, no, I suppose not that old, but sort of Scottish folk song, which is Willie of Winsbury. Actually, no, yes, it is Scottish, I think. It might actually be English. That one's in English, actually, even though it's just a Scottish person doing it. Anyway, then before that was a track I do know a bit more about. That was, I don't know who did that version, but that's Gently Johnny by Jingolo, which is originally from I think Cecil Sharp's folk collection. It was Cecil Sharp was one of those people wandering around the turn of the last century, recording folk songs, and a very famous large compilation of songs. Then before that was what the version was in the movie, which is Paul Giovanni, who took the original old lyrics and then I think changed the music. The music isn't the original version, but the lyrics are, although that's the bawdy version. There is actually a version which talks about going to see the parish priest or something, which is all a bit kind of like, yes, boring and sanitised. Nice that version they have there, which is from a brilliant compilation called Willow's Songs, which collects some of these songs. I'm only going to play a couple from that. I don't know where they sourced some of the recordings. They seem to be, they're not actually credited and not, the way I got them not credited, although it's not exactly an easy compilation to find anyway. It's sort of quite it's quite an old song. I don't know how old it is. Of course, it doesn't tell you how old it is, apart from that it was recorded in 1907. But it was much earlier. Then before that was a little bit of The Wicker Man and Martin Said to His Man, which again is an early, that's an English folk song, definitely an English folk song. Otherwise known as Who's the Fool Now? And that's where the lyric of about, the very, very, very bawdy lyric about, actually the version on I'm looking on what's called a site called Folk Info, which actually gives some info on these background, these songs. And this was originally recorded, 1588 was probably an early printed version. It's from Queen Elizabeth's virginal books, obviously this was the, this was a politened. This is the less bawdy version, which didn't mention about milking a bull. And if you think about it, how would you milk a bull? Every stroke a bucket full. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful lyric, and it's also incredibly rude. But the original is 1609. But it was recorded 1588. It might be earlier. So that's 16th century. Then Before that was the Willow Song, which uses part of that lyric in the original, well, in the full version. In the film, I don't think they used that part of the lyric yet. They did a really bad edit job. There's a guy called Eric Boyd Perkins who did the editing for The Wicker Man, and I think the poor Giovanni really fell out with him and said he was useless. And I have to say, if you actually listen carefully to some of the edits, it's a bit like some of the dodgy early mashup edits where people were just kind of, you know, trying to loosely chop stuff out radio play stuff. How bad some of those are. It's one of those. If you listen to it carefully, suddenly it's like actually stuff is offbeat. It's horrible. And I still don't believe what he said about. He was saying about the, because what basically happened when they destroyed the negatives. Or if they are destroyed, that's what Christopher Lee says, and he doesn't think they are still around somewhere. But the is that apparently he kept losing footage when he was editing it and doing all kinds of weird things. And he seemed to be quite happy to cut it all down as well. So, and made a bit of a bodge job of it, really. I'm not impressed by, because I've actually watched several documentaries about The Wicker Man. Burnt Offering and Enigma, Wicker Man Enigma, and they and also there is some footage from also stuff they did at the time, press and things like that, that's included in the show. And it doesn't come over at all well, neither does Michael Dealey either, who was the producer that came in and hacked the film together. He also hacked up Blade Runner, so you notice there's a trend here. That's one of my favourite film of all time, which was destroyed by the studio as well, because the thing about Wicker Man is it actually was cut from 102 minutes to 80 odd minutes and was totally butchered and thus didn't make a massive amount of sense. That's not in the original recording, that's actually here in London. But yes, of course they've got sirens on this island, they don't have any cars. But the 80-minute version was, they actually cut it down to a B feature with Don't Look Now, another brilliant film, and just totally buried the film. And it wasn't that actually certain people, including Christopher Lee, the director Robin Hardy, and various Anthony Schaffer and various other people actually didn't forget about the film and kept basically trying to get it released in the States. And there's a whole load of quite scary legal stuff around that, which I won't go into, I'll be here all week. Anyway, so you've got Willow's Song by Paul Giovanni, which uses the bit of Martin Said to His Man. That version, not badly edited. That's actually a different voice to the one in the film. One in the film, I think that's sung by, I forget which way it ran. One sung by Rachel Verney, which I think is that version, but I think the one in the film is sung by Annie Ross, who's also alleged to have dubbed over the voice of Britt Eklund, which he wasn't very happy about. Anyway, so we're going to place some... This is a traditional Scottish tune coming up. This is Robbie Burns writing this, and I think it's a traditional tune. I'll have to probably tell you exactly. Oh, and I checked. Summaries are coming in 1260, so that's 13th century, I was right, and I wasn't too sure about whether it was later, but yes, I knew that some of these were 16th century, some are 13th century. That was 13th century, and so is Mary It Is as well. So they're all but similar, sort of late end of 13th century, which was some of the earliest recorded songs ever. So anyway, here is Highland Widow's Lament by Chantal.
My purse to buy a meal to me. At hame at the score years, och on, och on, och ra, scapan on yon bonnet. And cast them woe to me. I was the happiest of the clan. Sir, may I repine, for Donald was the bravest man. And Donald, he was mine. Till Charlie Stuart came at last. Och on, och on, och ra. My Donald's arm was wanted. For Scotland I and for me, nor woe for fate what need I tell. Och on, och on, och ra, my Donald and his country fell. Upon Culloden's field. Oh, I am come to low country. Oh, on, oh, on, oh, ra. With thought of penny in my to buy a meal to me.
Here comes the chop, the true chop of your head.
Chop, chop.
Thank you.
Can I do anything for you, Sergeant?
Oh, I doubt it. Seeing you're all raving mad.
Despicable little liars. Rowan Morrison is a schoolmate of yours, isn't she?
Awakes in people a kind of tribal memory. It's full of echoes from our past, from our childhood, from the very things that are around us in every day. We go to church on Sunday and we forget that Sunday was originally a day when we worship the sun. We go to church. The film is about conflicting faiths, as we said.
Right.
We knock on wood because we want to ward off evil. The film is full of the symbols of that wood.
And the earth, the fire,
and elements. It's full of the symbols that we have in Christian feasts today, like the Easter Bunny, which is originally the March Hare, the Tree of Christmas, the mistletoe, all those things are a part of our tribal past. And this film keeps on bringing them in. It brings them in children's songs, which are deadly serious songs in this movie. We remember as Oranges and Lemons and Ring-a-Ring of Roses and things like that, but which had deadly earnest meanings originally. The last song in the movie, Summer Is A-Comin' In, is probably the oldest song in the world. And I think this fascinates people, and if I may use this comparison again, pretty much the way Roots fascinated people, because people are fascinated by their collective past, and particularly when they can find it all around them in the present.
But it taps it in a curious kind of way that both fascinates, and I think that's the third time I've used the word fascinate tonight, and at the same time ultimately terrifies, because it has a way of making people uncomfortable in a good, a healthy kind of way. It provokes a thought process, an examination of oneself and where one's at.
There's a very good reason for that, I think, Stelling, and that is because those things which are part of our superstitions, which are part of so many of our everyday or accepted as everyday customs that we do at various times of the year and so on and so forth, are are things that for a long time were bad.
Upon a Lammas night, when corn rigs are bonny, beneath the moon's unclouded light, I held a while to Annie. The time went by with careless heed, till tween the late and early, with small persuasion she agreed to see me through the barley. And barley rigs and corn rigs are bonny. I'll not forget that happy night among the rigs with her most sincerely. I kissed her o'er and o'er again among the rigs of barley. Corn rigs rigs and barley rigs and corn rigs are bonny. I'll not forget that happy night among the rigs with Annie.
Good afternoon, Sergeant Howie. Sight of the young people refreshes you.
No, sir. It does not refresh me.
Oh, I'm sorry. One should always be open to the general.
In the woods there grew a tree, and a fine, fine tree was he. And on that tree there was a limb, and on that limb there was a branch, and on that branch there was a nest, and in that nest there was an egg, and in that egg there was a bird, and from that bird a feather came, and of that feather was a bed. And on that bed there was a girl, and on that girl there was a man, and from that man there was a seed, and from that seed there was a boy, and from that boy there was a man, and for that man there was a grave, and from that grave there grew a tree. From that man there was a sea, and from that sea there was a boy, and from that boy there was a man, and for that man there was a grave, and from that grave there grew a tree. That girl, there was a man, from that man there was a sea, and from that sea there was a boy, and from that boy there was a man, and for that man there was a grave, and from that grave there grew a tree. That girl, there was a man, from that man there was a sea, and from that sea there was a boy, and from that boy there was a man,
and from that man there was a
Oh, oh, the rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh, rare bog and a rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. In that bog there was a hole, rare hole and a rattling hole, and the hole in the bog down in the valley, oh. Oh, oh, the rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. Rare bog and a rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. In that hole there was a tree, rare tree and a rattling tree, tree in the hole and the hole in the bog down in the valley, oh. Oh, oh, the rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. Rare bog and a rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. On that tree there was a bough, rare bough and a rattling bough, and the bough on the tree, and the tree in the hole, and the hole in the bog down in the valley, oh. Oh, oh, the rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. Rare bog and a rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. On that bough there was a limb, rare limb and a rattling limb, limb on the bough, and the bough on the tree, and the tree in the hole in the bog down in the valley, oh. Oh, oh, the rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. Rare bog and a rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. On that limb there was a branch, rare branch and a rattling branch, the branch and the limb and the limb on the bough, and the bough on the tree, and the tree in the hole, and the hole in the bog down in the valley, oh. Oh, oh, the rattling bog, the bog down in the valley, oh. Rare bog and a rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. On that branch there was a twig, rare twig and a rattling twig, the twig on the branch and the branch on the limb and the limb on the bough and the bough on the tree and the tree in the hole and the hole in the bog down in the valley, oh. Oh, oh, the rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. Rare bog and a rattling bog and the bog down in the valley, oh. On that twig there was a leaf, rare leaf and a rattling leaf. The leaf on the twig and the twig on the branch and the branch on the limb and the limb on the bough and the bough on the tree and the tree in the hole and the hole in the bog down in the valley. Oh, oh, roll the rattling bug and the bog down in the valley. Oh, rare bog and a rattling bug and the bog down in the valley. Oh, okay, you guys, try the next one on your own. And on that leaf there was a nest. The bog down in the valley, oh, rare bog and a rattling bog in the bog down in the valley, oh. In that nest there was a bird, rare bird and a rattling bird, and the bird in the
yes,
nest.
Yes, so. You get the idea. You get the idea. We'll return to it later on. It goes on for hours. This is Rattling Bog, which is a traditional Irish tune, which is by this version is by Seamus Kennedy, and is what inspired the Maypole song by Paul Giovanni in from. The One Breath Rule, yeah. This is what's inspired the Maypole song, which you just heard just before it. And then before that was a bit of a clip of Wicker Man. Then there's Corn Rigs by Paul Giovanni, which was inspired by, not so much musically, but more the actual lyrics, inspired by Rigs of Barley, otherwise known as Corn Rigs of Bonnie, by Robbie Burns, which was written in 1783. Three, apparently, it says here. it's very hard to track down when these things are actually written, especially the traditional. Obviously, they don't have a writer. Then before that was a traditional Irish reel. And by the way, I have to say, this is a traditional Irish reel called Drowsy Maggie, which apparently morphed into what should we do with a drunken sailor? It's sort of similar roots. But I have to say, I actually have one eighth reason to play that, because I just found out that I'm 1/8 Irish, which is kind of new to me. I know, it's weird. Americans kind of go through all the genealogy thing. I never have, and my dad just said, oh, your great-grandmother was Irish. It's news to me. Then before that was Searching for Rowan. This is Paul Giovanni. Again, but of course that's based on Drowsy Maggie, the reel, and what came before it was Robertson's Rant or Robertson's Reel, which is another traditional thing that's Scottish. Don't quote me on that. But it's actually quite hard to find about reels, because unlike songs, people don't actually write down on the internet what they are. They'll just say, oh, well, so-and-so covered this and so-and-so covered this, and actually mention them much about where it came from. Because I'm intrigued where it comes from. And before that, Highland Widow's Lament, which was written down by Robbie Burns, allegedly. Although, actually, the dates I have for that don't make sense. I think it was written down by Robert Burns later. Actually, that makes sense. But apparently there's a version from 1715, but it refers to Charles Stuart and the Jacobite Uprising of 1745. So it was obviously around from the 18th century. And what was before that? Oh, that was the start of that little sequency. Yeah. It'll get faster. It's one of those list songs, but it's basically you have to remember all the sequences. And it gets faster and faster.
And on that speck there was a germ, rare germ and a rattling germ, the germ and the speck.
You get sillier.
Oh, roll the rattling bug in the bog down in the valley, oh, rare bug and a rattling bug in the bog down in the valley, oh. On that germ there was an amoeba, rare amoeba, rattling amoeba, amoeba the germ and the speck and the eye and the flea and the flea and the...
And you get the idea. I could. This goes on for another 2 minutes. Anyway, it's very amazing. There are different versions of that, but I love that because it just gets very, very silly, very fast and very complicated. Paramecium. How many songs do you know mention the word paramecium? Anyway, so I'm going to play another traditional song. This is the one, if you've watched the film, you know about the landlord's daughter song. And this is the song, I can't remember exactly which way it's around. I think this is the song which... Well, one of the songs I'm playing actually is actually directly what the song became that Paul Giovanni used for the film. And the other one was the one it was supposed to be, but he changed it around. So this is I Sowed Some Seeds by Barry and Robin Dransfield. And it's all about basically coming to London and, sowing your seeds.
When first to London town I came, I'd been a stranger, I knew not one. I took my lodgings up to some inn, where for full 5 months I did remain. I did remain, I did remain. I was a stranger, I fell in danger. I was a stranger, I knew not one. The landlord had one daughter dear, and she was a beauty, I do declare. Above her garter I dare not go, I fell in danger for doing so. For doing so, for doing so. I was a stranger, I fell in danger. I fell in danger for doing so. Her ruby lips, her eyes so blue, caused me to love her, love her true. The more I kissed her, this girl be young, the more I kissed her eyes did glister. Just like the rising of the sun. The more I kissed her, her eyes did glister. The more I kissed her, this girl be young.
Much has been said of the strumpets of yore, of wenches and bawdy house queens by the score. But I sing of the baggage that we all adore. The landlord's daughter, you'll never love another. Although she's not the kind of girl to take home to your mother.
Is lively and strong to the taste.
Brewed with discretion, never with haste.
You can have all you like if you swear not to waste.
The landlord's daughter, and when her name is mentioned,
the pants of every gentleman do stand up at attention.
Nothing can delight so,
as does the part that lies between
her left toe
and her right toe.
London town, when first I came, then no one knew my face or name. And there 5 months I did remain. I stayed at Smithfield at an inn. The hostess had a daughter fair, with waving locks of coal black hair, and eyes as coals that glowing were. They were so bright, so glittering. I kissed her rosy cheeks and brow. Her face was mingled blood and snow. We loved each other, well I know. We loved each other tenderly. I sowed the silly seeds of love. I sowed them in a garden grove. And now I must away remove. From London town away must fly. The seeds of love, they grew apace. The tears were ever in her face. I would not tarry in that place to reap the harvest I had sown. Now when the pretty babe is born, 'twill lie within her bosom warm, but ne'er be danced upon the arm of father, for that babe had none.
The little old beetle goes round and round, always the same way, you see, till it ends up right up tight to the nail. Poor old thing.
Poor old thing. And why in God's name do you do it, girl?
Festivals.
Primitive man lived and died by his harvest. The purpose of his spring ceremonies was to ensure a plentiful autumn. Relics of these fertility dramas are to be found all over Europe. In Great Britain, for example, one can still see harmless versions of them danced in obscure villages on May Day. Their cast includes many alarming characters. A man, animal, or hobby horse who canters at the head of the procession, charging at the girls. A man-woman, the sinister teaser, played by the community leader or priest, and a man-fool, Punch, most complex of all the symbolic figures. The privileged simpleton and king for a day. Six swordsmen follow these figures, and at the climax of the ceremony lock their swords together in a clear symbol of the sun. In pagan times, however, these dances were not simply picturesque jigs. They were frenzied rites ending in a sacrifice by which the dancers hoped desperately to win over the goddess of the fields. In good times, they offered produce to the gods and slaughtered animals. But in bad years, when the harvest had been poor, the sacrifice was a human being. In some cultures, it would be the king himself. In others, their most beloved virgin. And very often he or she would be kept hidden for months preceding the ceremony, just as the sun is hidden from the earth in winter.
Rowan's not dead.
Methods of sacrifice differed. Sometimes the victim would be drowned in the sea or burnt to death in a huge sacrificial bonfire. Sometimes the six swordsmen ritually beheaded the virgin.
Dear God in heaven, even these people can't be that mad.
Chief priests then skinned the child, and wearing the still warm skin like a mantle, led the rejoicing crowd through the streets. The priest thus represented a goddess reborn and guaranteed another successful harvest next year.
Paganism in all of us.
insofar as we do all of us depend on the elements which have been there since the dawn of time, without which we couldn't exist.
The idea that that kind of rather happy, singing, loving society could come back, and if the only price was that we had to burn the occasional policeman, it would be pretty good.
I look forward to a day when we are pagans again. I think we'd have a much better time of it. I think we'd have a lot more fun, but not only fun, a lot more belief, a lot more faith, a lot more immediacy.
That's La Reverie with Miri Tis While Summer Lasts. Alas. Yes, that's Middle English. And again, it's, I said at the start, it's late 13th century. Then before that was the rather, well, there was a little bit from one of the Wicker Man documentaries. And then before that was the masks to Hobby Horse from the film, from Paul Giovanni. And I love that because that's the bit where Oak, who's my favourite character, he's only a bit character as well. Well, not really a bit character, he's quite an important character, but he's played by a wrestler, Scottish wrestler Ian Campbell. And of course he's a big man with a long beard and a kilt. Excuse me while I dream. Anyway, Bond 2-3, back in the room. Then before that, always a bit of Sergeant Howie talking about rituals over that. Then before that was The Hostess's Daughter by Cyril Tawney. And I forget which one it is. I think it's the hostess's daughter contains a part that was in the script. I think I sowed some seeds is what became the landlord's daughter. But as you can hear from what actually ended up, there's not really much of a similarity. And apparently Peter Schaffer, Anthony Schaffer's brother, actually translated quite a lot of the lyrics or rewrote them in English for the film, and apparently that's one of the ones he did. And then, so no mentions of horses being having their eyes put out. Oh, sorry, I've ruined that for you as well. You do know any Andy Burns and recommend? No, I didn't say that. Yes, so there before that was the cast with the landlord's daughter. That's from the what happened is the trunk. There's a whole story about how this soundtrack came out, because it wasn't actually ever released at the time. The film was such a debacle, that the soundtrack never got released, and so he died, and it lay there, and the film lay there in toil until it became quite a popular film all of a sudden. Well, sort of in probably 79, 80, it sort of became a cult film, you know, and it's in America, and it came back over here, and it obviously had lots of Alex. I think I first saw it because I saw bits of it. I saw it on the Alex Cox show when he played it in the 80s. I was a big fan of, I am still a big fan of Alex Cox and his sort of Videodrome. And so what happened is that then Trunk Records, we've probably mentioned before because they've released other sort of, I think they've released Dilly Derbyshire stuff, and I don't know if they did the Bod album I've got. They do sort of cult stuff. No, cult, not cult in that way. You say it's a cult film. It's like, so is that a bit of an in-joke? And so they actually just took the cue. Whenever you release a film, if it has to be dubbed into a language, you actually have to have the music separately. So they have the music separately, and they actually managed to find or got a copy of that. So it was without the dialogue, but with some of the sound effects. So they released that. It wasn't a great quality, because obviously it was for the film, and wasn't really, you know, brilliant quality. I think it, I don't know even if it was stereo, I think it was mono. But it does, you know, include the original songs. And then there's a big storm. A guy called Gary Carpenter, who was the Royal College of Music person, which I would suspect probably knew about some of these older songs, English songs, and was helping Paul Giovanni on the film. He got into a huff about that and saying, "Oh, this does actually exist a proper versions of these stereo tape." And so eventually that was released, but he went back and redid the songs for an album release, but then never released the album. So they actually are different songs, hence why the Willow song I played earlier is actually a different person singing it. There is a Maypole version which is not as good, which is and the version of Landlord's Daughter, which is actually on this what's called the silver screen version, the one with the orange cover rather than the one with the white cover, actually is not as good. It's been re-recorded. It's not the original cast. And you don't have people like Oak, Ian Campbell, sort of not singing, but that's the charm of it. It's got people who you'd have in a pub singing, but they don't, you know, of course they're not professional singers, so it works. And it has that whole sort of ambiance. So it's kind of like, if you're interested in getting the album, it's probably best to get both albums, because the trunk version is all of what's, or there's actually a bootleg, I think, possibly, called the Canal version. C-A-N-A-L, obviously after the, must be related to when they released it, when Canal Plus, or whatever it's called, released it. But there's a silver screen version, which is the version you'll probably find in the shops, and that's still pretty good. Just remember, some of the songs won't be the same. But it does have the original version of Gently Johnny, which isn't on the trunk version, because it was the trunk version is obviously based on the shorter version, and that was cut out. That wonderful song, which I forgot to say was actually sung by Paul Giovanni, like Corn, the Corn Rigs I played earlier, was actually cut out of the film. And it's amazing, amazing sequence, and I'm just amazed it was. So, yeah, so then before Landlord's Daughter, I think you sort of part of the history of that, there's I Sowed Some Seeds by Barry and Robin Dransfield. I think that's it, yes. So we've reached the end of the show. Hope you enjoyed this part one of this sort of floaty-tastic, wicker-tastic, probably slightly singed show of Radio Clash. Yes, we'll be burning the microphone. I'm probably burning my the rest of my podcasting career very shortly. So you can find out more at Radio Clash by going to radioclashblog.com, unless some very annoying person called LVLV1, who has been stealing my mashups, actually manages to get the domain taken away from me, which is, yes, all very nice. Because I said he was talentless because he was stealing my mashups. Well, of course you are talentless. If you're stealing my mashups and claiming as your own, then obviously you don't really have any talent because you're using someone else's. But apparently that upset him to the point of complaining to GoDaddy. So if that happens, the blog will be fine because I've got mutantpop.net/radioclash still set up. So either. And so you can email me at tim@radioclashblog.com. If that doesn't work, you can email me at radioclash@mutantpop.net. They both will work. So I did tell them this. It's like, you're going to inconvenience me for about 2 seconds and then it'll be like, what? Be annoying, but, you know. I don't think they'll do anything because, as I say, I didn't say anything that bad. But I'd tone it down a bit. But it was intentional because it sort of just Google spams them. It just annoys me when people do that. They actually take your work. And yes, I know I don't own it, the copyright, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not, I don't own it. But when someone takes something you've done, even if you don't own the constituent parts, like a collage or whatever, and says, oh, that's mine, because you don't own that bit. And it's like, well, the constituent thing together I own, even if I don't own everything that's part of it and it's not commercial, still mine. Still stuff with the right to put my name to it, even, and the right to get attacked and sued and whatever. So just rather annoying. And he called it trance, which was what pissed me off more. It was my Flute of Mac one, Flute of Mac piano bootleg. Anyway, enough of that. So I'm going to finish on the next instalment next week on Radio Clash. I'm going to talk about more about the sort of where the history of where it was placed in, other than the, you know, rather than talking about this show, I was talking about the folk roots of the songs. Next, I'm talking about the more contemporary setting and also what it influenced afterwards, kind of inspirations and influences. I don't know what I'm going to call it. Probably just call it Return to Summer Isle Part 2, which is, I know, is very original. And so I'm going to play out with a cover, which is the Sneaky Pimps cover of what they called How Do, which, I mean, this is my favourite song of the whole thing. Well, I suppose it's Gently Johnny. I've been going around singing Gently Johnny for weeks, so I think it's probably Gently Johnny is the weird earworm, but Willow's song is the thing that sort of, that scene is the thing that sort of brought me in and sort of enticed me into the whole film. It's not often, sometimes it happens that actually a soundtrack can inspire me more than the film, and then I get into the film, to the soundtrack. I think I tend to respond more directly to music than I do. Well, it depends on the visuals. Obviously, I'm an artist, so, but, you know, a lot of times I'm a bit like, I'm more sceptical, because you can fake a lot with visuals, whereas music is more visceral. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this show, and I will speak to you soon.
little Roan loved the March Hares.
A sacrilege.